The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 21st chapter. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, he said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." Then they asked him, "Teacher, when will this be, and what will the sign that this is to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and 'the time is near.' Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place, but the end will not follow immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places, famines and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair on your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." The Gospel of the Lord. Back in the 70s, there was a pastor, civil rights advocate, an activist, kind of a guru to many people. And he became so radical that he moved to Guyana, started a town called Jonestown, named for himself, of course, because his name was Jim Jones. And in 1978, he served his congregation communion, which was cyanide-laced purple Kool-Aid, and 908 people committed suicide. In the 1990s, there was a guy named David Koresh. He led a group called the Branch Davidians in Waco, Texas. He had tons and tons of wives and tons of children, and he told these people that he was Jesus Christ having come again, and that the end of the world was soon. Therefore, he began stockpiling all sorts of weapons. And, well, when you start stockpiling weapons and the FBI finds out about it, they're not real thrilled. And so they stormed the Branch Davidian compound, and it caught fire. And on that day in 1993, 79 people either died from the fire or by self-inflicted gunshot wounds. Then there was Marshall Applegate. You ever heard of that guy? Marshall Applegate had a group called Heaven's Gate. They believed that there was a spaceship hiding behind the Hale-Bopp comet. And so what they did in order to prepare themselves for the trip up to the higher plane of this spaceship that was to take them on to heaven, they all dressed in black sweatsuits, wore Nikes, and then ate applesauce or pudding laced with drugs, and 38 people died that day. And so I've got a question about all these guys. What do they have that I don't have? I mean, good gracious, how can you talk all those people into doing something that insane, and I can't even talk people into coming to church every week, you know? I mean, they got people to actually give up their lives, and I can't talk people into reading their Bible more or, you know, praying every day. What's wrong with me? You know, I mean, I don't think I put too many of y'all to sleep when I'm up here, and, you know, y'all are very complimentary as you walk out the door. Maybe you're just being nice. But I don't know what they've got that I don't have. And it's not just them either. I mean, those are the extremes. You know, there was a guy in this area, and when the year 2000 was rolling around, he convinced his congregation that they needed to stockpile all kinds of food because on January the 1st, the year 2000 that the world was going to come to an end, and so his whole congregation was stockpiling food. I don't know if I could give y'all to give an extra $25 a week, you know? So what am I doing wrong? What are they doing that I'm not doing? I've often wondered that. Because I stand before you week after week, Sunday after Sunday, and I pray and I offer the good news of Jesus Christ, that he gave his life for our sin. Died on a cross, not because of anything he had done, but because of what we do. And then God raised him from the dead, giving us the gift of eternal life. That no matter what we do, good or bad, we have that promise. And this is wonderful news, isn't it? This is life-changing news. And yet, how do we respond to this life-changing news? How does it impact our lives? You know, if I said that you should come to church every week unless you're sick or on vacation, would you? What if I were to tell you that Jesus Christ is coming again and that you should be ready for that? Will you respond? Because that's what I'm here to do this morning, my friends. Because that's what it says in Scripture. We have the promise that Jesus Christ is coming again. And what we heard in this morning's gospel reading is what's called the apocalyptic discourse from St. Luke. And here's what it said. It says that when they were speaking about the temple and how adorned and beautiful the stones were and dedicated to God, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon the other. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be? And what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" He said, "Beware that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and 'the time is near.' Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrection, do not be terrified, for these things must take place, but the end will not follow immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes and in various places famines and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven." Yay! Isn't that exactly what you came to church to hear this morning? That Jesus is coming and all of these things are going to be happening? But tell me this. Tell me one time in history when nations were not rising against nation. Tell me when the last time that you knew of that there weren't famines and plagues going on in the world somewhere. Has that not always been the case? So we hear about an apocalypse. And what do you imagine when you hear the word apocalypse? Fire coming down from heaven and maybe the earth just plummeting into the sun and exploding, right? You know what the word apocalypse really means? Revelation. So the book of Revelation is the book of the apocalypse. And you know what the apocalypse actually is? It is the end of the world as we know it. As we know it. And you see, as we hear this text in Luke, it talks about the destruction of the temple. You see, for the Jews, that was the centerpiece not only to their faith, but to their community. They were all about the temple. And the thought of that temple coming down would change the world as they knew it. Their world would come to an end if the temple was destroyed. The way that our society is structured, the way things are set up, if those change, the world would come to an end as we know it, right? So tell me, is that necessarily a bad thing? Because what we have the promise of in its place is a time when there's no more crying, no more tears, no more death, no more pain, no more suffering. That is the promise that we have at the apocalypse. That is the promise that we have of Jesus Christ coming in return. That's what we have to look forward to, and that's what we are called to prepare ourselves for. That's how we react to the good news of Jesus Christ. And so how do we prepare for the apocalypse? How do we get ready? It's not by stockpiling food. It's not by arming ourselves to the teeth. It's about loving the world. We love the world. Love other people. And I mean those people. The people, yes, that look different than we do, talk different than we do. They're from different places. They speak different languages. They're all around us. Maybe they're the people that make us mad. Yes, love those people too. But not just them. Also love the people that think differently than you, that vote differently than you, that are different than you, that have less money or more money. We are called to love everyone. And trust me, sisters and brothers, if we do that, that'll change the world as we know it. That is the apocalypse that I believe our God is calling for. So the question is, how is God calling you to respond? How are you being called to respond to the faith that you've been given? What have you been called to do? Because listen to what he says here. Jesus goes on to say, before this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you, and they will hand you over to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before the kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. The world doesn't want to hear the message of love, grace, and mercy because it'll change everything. And the world doesn't want to change. It doesn't want to be turned upside down. It wants to hold on to the same societal grip that it has. And so when we proclaim the love of God, people will reject us. They'll turn their back on us. They don't want to hear this life-changing, earth-shattering message. And yet, Jesus says, this is our opportunity to testify. It's our opportunity to share our gifts, to show God's love. Now, some of us will testify with our mouths. Many of us will testify with our actions. But the question we have to ask ourselves is, how is God asking you to testify? How is God asking you to speak out on the behalf of others? How is God asking you to use what you've got, be who you are, to change the world? And then we also have to ask ourselves that same question. We just got finished having a congregational meeting, and we voted on our new congregational leaders, and we passed our budget, and we changed to our constitution. We also discussed the disc golf course and the walking trail that's going to go on back there. There's all kinds of exciting things, but we have to always continually ask ourselves, how has God taken Pisgah Lutheran Church, put it in this place at this time to change the world? My friends, Jesus Christ is coming again. I can promise you that. I don't know when, I don't know how, I don't know where, but I promise you Jesus Christ is coming again, and therefore we have to be ready. We have to usher in this new reign of God, and the way we do that is through love. Love people. I know that that is just an absolutely insane notion in this world today, but that's what we're being called to do. Share our gifts to show God's love. Find how God is calling you to do just that in your jobs, in your families, in your community, anywhere in your life. Because the apocalypse is coming, and the world as we know it will come to an end. Thanks be to God. Amen.